You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
Gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of F101. This week, we're in Saudi Arabia for the Grand Prix. One of the fastest tracks on the calendar, if not the fastest track, also one of the most dangerous tracks on the calendar. You're getting top speeds of 340 kilometers an hour. You got hairpin turns. The track itself, it's not that wide, about 3.5 car lengths, which is not, it seems wide, but it's really not for these cars when you're going 340. But fantastic qualifying this weekend, fantastic race this weekend, a couple of blemishes, but all in all, it was a fantastic weekend. So let's start with qualifying. Not a whole lot to talk about for qualifying. Everything was, you know, fairly uneventful. Checo Perez, very last minute, took the pole from the Ferraris, which in and of itself was great. Ferrari's been running really, really well this season, coming off of last year's, I believe, fourth in the constructors. They've really put development into their new cars, their engines, their strategies. So, I mean, Ferrari is definitely one of the cars to keep an eye on. And they're definitely going to be doing a massive push for the constructors and the drivers' championship this year. Red Bull's got to pay attention. They've got to get anything that they have, any kind of issues, any kind of guesswork. They got to get it sorted out now or before they know what they're going to be on the back foot and they're not going to be able to recover. During qualifying, a massive crash. The only kind of blip on the qualifying night, Haas driver Mick Schumacher hit the curb bumper, lost control of his car and hit the wall at 270 kilometers an hour, a 33G impact. I am very happy to say he was taken to hospital that night and he was also released that night. He is good to go. No concussion, no bumps, no bruises, no injuries. He wants to race. When you see this impact, the car just disintegrated when it hit the wall. Lost three tires, carbon fiber everywhere, but you could also see him lift his visor. He was talking to his pit crew that he was okay. Fantastic to hear. Unfortunately for him, he goes through this massive crash. He's okay. He wants to race just for Haas to turn around and go, you know what, we don't have the parts. And we don't want to spend the money this early in the season to fix your car, so you just get to sit on the sidelines and watch tomorrow. How insulted he must have felt. How let down he must have felt. You go through this trauma. You want to get back on the horse, as it were. You want to race again. You know you can. You know you're a good racer. And your team's going, you know what? We don't have the money. So you just have to watch Kevin Magnussen, who placed 10th. Fantastic placing for him, but you have to watch your teammate race even though you're perfectly fine to go. It's the second race. I think Haas needs to go and start looking for major sponsors already. It's the second race. I know you lost your major sponsor when Nikita Mazepin left. He took his money with him. Okay, that's fine. But if you're scraping for money and for parts this early, go and get somebody now. You're in race two. There's 23 races this year. What are you going to do when it comes to mid-season? Are you only going to run one car for half the season because you don't have any money? It's not fair to either drivers. It's not fair to the pit crews. It's not fair to the team. And it's not fair to fans, because Haas has really got an opportunity to make some waves, to get some points, to, you know, reassure that fan base that, yeah, they're here to stay, but you look like a joke right now when you say you can't afford... Essentially, you can't afford to put two cars on the track if one crashes. That, well, I got to pick the best out of the two, and you're just not it. I would be so insulted if I was Mick Schumacher at this moment. I mean, you've got the pedigree that you can race in any car. Your dad did it. You are going to be as good as your dad, so give him the opportunity to do it. That being said, I don't see Mick Schumacher staying in Haas past next season. I think he's going to go to Ferrari. They will have the prestige. They're going to have the financing. They're going to have the cars. And guess what? They're going to have the parts for Mick to actually go driving. He's going to take his dad's number. He's going to be another legendary Ferrari racer. I mean, that's just my prediction. But, I mean, Haas looks bad because they didn't put two cars out because they couldn't afford it. Now, that being said, Haas put proper development into their car, their power unit, their safety features, which is why Mick was able to walk away from this massive crash. With the new chassis that these cars have and the new safety features, when he hit that wall, because of the design of the car, that impact was lessened by 15% because of the engineering and the technology that was in that car. Now, just imagine adding 15% more to those G's. 15% would have meant that half the car would have just been crumpled and he wouldn't have been able to walk away. I think the engineers and the safety designers and all that really need to pat themselves on the back because it was a massive crash and the driver was able to get out on his own cognizance. He was lucid. He was fine. He was able to go back to his hotel that night because of the safety features that they were able to put into the car, and they put in the time and the effort, and they saved his life, in my opinion. So hats off to you guys. I'm glad that Mick Schumacher's fine. Ridiculously disappointed that he's not able to drive on Sunday, but we'll see him in Australia for the next race. Speaking of, moving to race day, the theme of the day is I didn't finish. We had six cars that didn't finish this race. Normally, that doesn't happen. But the reason why is four out of the six didn't finish because of mechanical issues. I know they're new cars and they're new power units and there's new regulations and new specs, but I have never seen six cars not finish a single race without a massive crash. It's a little concerning that some of these teams don't have their mechanics worked out by this stage in the season. I know it's only race two, but it's only potentially going to get worse if you guys don't get this figured out now. Prime example, number 22, Yuki Tsunoda, he drives for AlphaTauri. He was having issues with his water pump the day before. He didn't get to qualify, and his team comes out, said it was fixed, he's good to go, you're going to have a great race, you know, all that kind of stuff that you tell the media and you tell your driver. And Yuki goes out, car's fine. He doesn't even get to finish the very first lap. And it wasn't even the beginning of the race. It's the formation and the warm-up lap. His water pump went again. How embarrassing is it for an organization and a driver to stand by the statement that you're fixed, you're good to go, and then all of a sudden the exact same issue happens and you haven't even started the race? It's one thing to race, extra pressure, you're pushing your car, and your water pump goes while you're racing. That's, in my opinion, totally more acceptable than the race hasn't even started and your car dies. That's so embarrassing. I think AlphaTauri needs to go back to the drawing board, strip everything down. They've got an extra week. Strip it down to the bare nuts and bolts and just go through it piece by piece by piece and just reevaluate where things need to be fixed now, because they got to get a handle of this, because the season only gets faster and it only gets tougher from here on out. You're not going to have easy tracks. You've got like the Track of America, you've got Monza, you've got Monaco, you've got so many other tracks that is going to push your car a lot harder than these first two races did. You might want to figure this out, and you might want to figure it out fast. So that was Yuki. Ridiculously embarrassing. I feel sorry for the guy. The other mechanical issues, again, were putting Mercedes front and center in the spotlight, that two out of the four cars, the McLaren and the Williams, both had mechanical issues, engine issues, from what I've seen and heard from, you know, Formula One articles and media and those sorts of things. But Mercedes supplies the power units to McLaren and Williams. This race and the last race, you're talking the top five racers, they've got either a Red Bull engine or they've got a Ferrari engine. The bottom five, you've got a Mercedes power unit. There was a time way back in the day, not really, but a couple of years ago, that Mercedes had the engine that everybody wanted. They had the cars that everybody wanted. They had the drivers that everybody wanted. And now coming into this season, race two, Mercedes, with all their issues and essentially their mechanical guesswork, is making them look like a mid-grid team. They will be lucky if they hit fifth in the constructors for points. And Lewis Hamilton didn't even make it out of Q1 today for qualifying the other day. He got 16th. Like, this is just, I'm stuttering because this is mind-blowing. Mercedes has never done this bad back-to-back in years. Like, what are they doing? Did these new specifications and the new budget cap, did it really throw them for that much of a loop? Are they just now guessing and figuring it out as they go? It's not looking really good for them. And if I was Williams and if I was McLaren, if I had less than a year left on that contract signed with Mercedes for a power unit, I would start looking at Ferrari power units. I'd start looking at a Red Bull unit. I know Red Bull's new and they've had their few issues, but you know, the actual Red Bull cars and AlphaTauri, they're running much, much more consistently and they're running faster than the tried and true Mercedes. So I don't know what they're doing when it comes to the guys in the garage, if they're just guessing, if they don't know what they're supposed to do. They got to get this figured out. They got to get it figured out now, or they're going to be left in the dust by Haas, by Alfa Romeo, by Alpine. They've got power units that are tried and true, just like Mercedes, but they're performing much, much better than theirs is. The three other cars that didn't make it today was the Alfa Romeo. They're supplied by Ferrari. Valtteri Bottas didn't even make it into pit lane. He was just cruising along. He just kept going slower and slower and slower until he just stopped. Same with Alpine today. Their power unit is brought to them by Renault. French company, great lineage. They used to supply Red Bull back in the day for their power units. Great reliability. And then the same thing, they just slowly got slower and they just stopped. Fernando Alonso didn't even finish the race. Engine just kind of slowed down and just turned off. And then you've got Red Bull today, but that's Yuki Tsunoda and the water pump. I mean, it's just, I haven't seen this many mechanical malfunctions this early in the season. So hopefully they get it figured out and that we can have a little bit more consistent racing. We don't have six cars out, two of which, you know, there's crashes. That always happens. One of them was Nicholas Latifi for Williams, not having the best year. So, or last season for that matter, the last race of the year, he crashed by himself, which set up Max Verstappen and the safety car to win, not intentionally, but it set that whole scenario in motion where Max won his very first championship. And a lot of people think it was because Latifi, because of his accident. And then again today, he didn't get hit by anybody. He didn't swerve to miss anybody. He was by himself and he puts it in the wall. For absolutely no reason. He's even saying on his comms that I don't know what happened. It's not really something you want to hear from your Formula One driver that you've done this twice in as many years by yourself. Like, how many more times are you going to put a Williams car in the wall by yourself because you lose control? Or, I don't know, are you not paying attention? You know, something along that line. It makes him look really, really bad. And it also has me questioning how much longer Williams is going to have Latifi in the car. I mean, he doesn't place top 10. He's maybe in between 12th and 15th and not consistently either. He's just, unfortunately, he's one of two Canadian drivers and he just doesn't do it. He doesn't pull in the points like he needs to. He crashes by himself. It's a little embarrassing. And I really wonder how much longer McLaren will have him around before he's gone. A little bit more drama, inter-team drama, as you will, first time this season. We're talking the Renault team today of Fernando Alonso and Esteban Ocon. Before Fernando Alonso had to retire, him and Ocon were battling like you should with your teammate. Now, for those of you who don't know in Formula One, there's two drivers per team, and they're your teammate, but they're not your teammate at the same time. When it's convenient for the team you're driving for, and it's convenient for each other, you help each other out. You give yourself a slipstream, DRS, you work together to get more points, higher up on the table, and to just make the race easier for each other. Today was not one of those days for Alpine. They were helping each other for a little bit, and then I don't know what happened, and they just started battling each other. When I say battling each other, I mean they're not driving to help each other out. They're cutting each other off. They're making each other work harder than they should, which means you're going to blow through tires that much faster. And other teams were able to catch up and pass them, which is not something you want in your drivers. You want them to work together consistently, like Checo and Max, or Russell and Hamilton. They work together really, really well. They understand that you help each other out when it's convenient, but you're also there to race for yourself, for the constructors, for the drivers' championship. And these guys were just, they weren't doing it today. Ocon got into a little bit of a fender bender later on in the day. I mean, it's not anything massive, but he didn't finish the race either. And it was a very disappointing day for Alpine altogether. They were running really well, middle of the pack. They would have gotten points if they were just, you know, if they just would have driven as a team and not as an individual trying to screw your other partner over. I don't understand it. Something that you guys may not understand or that you would have seen is that there's a lot of guys cutting corners today in the race. Now, normally you're not allowed to cut corners in a race. You have to follow the track. Now, if you're pushed off the track by someone being too close, then there's rules for that. And the rule used to be if you cut the corner, then the stewards, or, you know, think of them as the referees of the race, would tell that person who essentially cheated and cut the corner that if you gained two spots, let's say you went from 10th to 8th, that you would have to give those two spots back. You would have to go back to 10th. The stewards would have to tell you, and then if you did it again, you'd get, you know, what's called a time penalty. So you'd have to sit in your pit lane. No one can touch your car for either 5, 10, or 15 seconds. So the rule to take some of the pressure off the stewards so they can concentrate on the rest of the race is that the teams are to police themselves and essentially be like courteous drivers, going, okay, I cheated, that's my fault, I didn't mean to cut the corner, or I meant to cut the corner and I got caught. Take your spot back and keep the race going. It's making them, trying to make them more of an honest drivers and have them be a little, you know, safer and a little less whiny in some cases. Now, if you don't, the stewards are still going to look at the incident. And then if the stewards have to tell your team, it's kind of like the first team warning that if you do it again, then you're automatically going to get a penalty. You don't want the time penalty. When first and third are determined by less than a second and a half, you don't want to have to sit there because you didn't give your spot back and you have to sit there for 5, 10, or 15 seconds. It would just destroy your team. It would destroy your race, take all points away. So that's something you're going to notice in this race and further on that you're going to see some people cutting corners and then they have to give them back, but, you know, policing themselves, which I think is a good idea. It's putting a little bit more onus on the drivers for how they drive and not so much, I'm going to do something and let the powers that be decide whether I should give it back or not. It makes them a little more honest, which is great. I think it makes for just a friendlier race, which is, you know, just all in all a great idea, in my opinion. The race today, in my opinion, was the perfect example of strategy, teamwork with Red Bull and Ferrari. The pitting was fantastic. The timings were great. No massive crashes. It was just good, fast, nose-to-nose race. It came right down to the last corner, which it should, in my opinion. If you're new to Formula One and you can go back, let's say, you know, you've got a friend that's recorded this race, I would highly go back and watch that race with them because this is the perfect example of what it's supposed to be. It's honest racing. It's good racing. It is very, very fast racing, which is what you want to see in Formula One. You don't want to see people trap behind a safety car. You don't want to hear the politics. You just want to see guys racing as fast as they possibly can with great strategy. It was super exciting. An hour and a half race just went by like absolutely nothing. Just go out and watch it, essentially. That's what you want to do. Max Verstappen ends up taking the win. Like I said, he got it over Leclerc around the last two laps, which was fantastic. These two went back and forth almost the entire race, passing and repassing, DRS, just perfect strategy when it came to racing, when it came to giving up your spot, giving it back, passing, being passed, all that kind of stuff. It made it ridiculously exciting to watch. Carlos Sainz came in third. Checo Perez came in fourth. And then the lonely Mercedes came in fifth. The seven-time champion came in 10th today. Not Hamilton's best performance. He said he was pushing the car the best that he could. I don't really believe that if you can only get 10th out of the seven-time world champion, there's got to be something massively wrong with that car. But, I mean, I predicted that Russell was going to get more points than Hamilton this year anyways, and so far I am right. But these top five guys are going to be the guys that you want to watch all season. I think the championship is going to be between Ferrari and Red Bull, and it's going to be, you know, just back and forth, back and forth. It's going to be a fantastic season. I can't wait for the next race. Next race, you're looking at Australia. April 8th to 10th is race weekend. Now, these are really early or really late races in qualifying, depending on how you want to look at it. Saturday qualifying starts at midnight because it is Australian time. So here in Canada, it's going to start at midnight. The race on Sunday doesn't start till 11. You're going to be done around about 1 a.m. I recommend you watch this race live. You don't want to see the results on social media. This is always a very interesting and very exciting race. There's plenty of places to pass. There's a ton of straight stretches, tons of high drama with the DRS, and it's a really, really hot race. So we're going to see how many more mechanical failures you're going to see. We're going to see if the new Pirelli tires is going to be another big challenge for Pirelli with these tires, that they haven't been in a place this hot because they run during the day. We're going to see how these tires can hold up. I predict that you're going to see a couple of blowouts, that it's going to be Ferrari and Red Bull just back and forth, especially in Australia. It's going to be an amazing season. You guys absolutely have to check this out. And I will see you guys in the next episode.